Hey.
This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network, coming to you live every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we got a real exciting show for you tonight, because Jill is going to be knocking it out the park with some information about President Obama. And we're going to be talking about some of his first and... Listen, let me let you know right now, this month, we're dedicating it completely to different aspects of the presidency. So we know y'all out there got conversation that you want to have about the president. This is the month to engage us. Now, we're going to try and keep it on topic, because we don't want to get too wild and crazy about it. But we're going to, we're going to be setting it off like that. So how are you doing tonight, Jill?
I'm doing good. How are you, Glenn?
I'm doing fairly well. I got a little cold and I'm fighting, but I'm doing my home remedies, and I'm going to have me a little shot of some overproof rum after we get off this show. So I'm going to be tight.
I hear you. I love it.
Well, let me do the declaration, and I'm going to give the show back over to you, my dear, because I know you've got some interesting tidbits for us tonight. And
okay.
I'm always interested to find out what Mr. Barack Obama has done. And our intention is really to present the facts. So we're not swaying you or telling you should vote for President Obama or not, but we really want to present the facts. And one of the things on this show is that we felt that the facts aren't necessarily being told. And so these are not necessarily the views of the International Black Summit. These are our views as hosts. So we want to say that, and we're going to say that a couple times throughout the show tonight and throughout all the shows this October. So we want to be clear about it. And what we're looking to do is to be objective and present what we think are the facts that are little known. Without any further ado, the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do but be, except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th. 1991, north, south, east, west, above, below, within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. October 2nd, 2011. Back to you, Jill.
Thank you so much, Glenn. I really appreciate that. I just want everyone to know that we are inquiring in regards to the question that came about for the 2011-2012 at the annual summit, and we stay with this inquiry, and it is, what is possible in life when I be with what is the gift? So I definitely want to remind everyone about that. And also, we have a tour. If you go to www.blacksummit.org, there is a China tour that is going to take place October 22nd to October 31st. And we ask, if you're interested in attending the tour of China and going over to China, please go to www.blacksummit.org. Now, every evening, we do have a foundation, and we discuss a Kwanzaa principle to set the tone for the show. And Jerry, are you out there?
Yes, I am.
Good evening, Jerry. How are you?
Hey, Jerry, what's happening?
Yeah, how you feel, Jill? PCU Jill, my brother Glenn.
Feeling pretty good. Can't complain. So Jerry's going to present to us the Kwanzaa principle as we are, for the whole month, as Glenn stated, the whole month, we're going to focus on the various areas, agendas, and topics presented and introduced by President Obama. And again, please note that the International Black Summit does not endorse any political candidate or political organization, and any distribution, this notice does not constitute an endorsement of this or any other political candidate or organization by the International Black Summit. So, Jerry, can you please share the Kwanzaa principle for this evening?
And I got two good ones.
All right.
Got two good ones. The first one is Umoja. In parentheses, means unity. It means to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. Yeah. And the last one is Umjima. In parentheses, means collective work and responsibility. And it says to build and maintain our community together and make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and to solve them together. Back at you, Jill.
All right. Thank you. I just want to tell everyone, as I was sharing with Glenn before the show started, that there was so much as far as what President Barack Obama has done within not only the first year, but after that, and it was kind of hard to decipher whether he was the first president to do this or if this was a continuation of what was introduced prior to. But I just want to share some things that I know that I've researched on was the first. And then if any of you have any information or would like to share or would just like to make a comment, we ask that you go ahead and press 1 and you'll be live on the air. And for our listeners out there that are listening via the Internet, if you would like to call in, the number is 646-716-9827. Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. The first thing which I thought was great was that President Obama is the first president who makes environmental education a history with the proposed 2011 education budget. For the first time, the federal education budget included funding for environmental education in the schools. So that was big for me in regards to just knowing that the president was conscious enough to understand the importance of the environment and saving our environment and bringing it into the educational system. Also, this is President Barack Obama is the first sitting president to visit Puerto Rico since 1961 when John F. Kennedy visited Puerto Rico. And he is the first, they say, the first billion-dollar man. He raised $750 million in the 2008 campaign. This was kind of fun. He was also the first president to attend the Super Bowl. But
was it?
That's what I researched. And if anyone out there disputes it, please press 1 and we'll get you live on the air. President Obama was the first to embark World Autism Awareness Day, and that was, I believe it was April 1st. He's the first president to live tweet. He's the first president.
Wait a minute. You said he was the first one to do a live tweet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. Wow.
Yeah. You know, he's
some brilliant
technology. BlackBerry. And I believe he has, they actually, I heard, I don't know if this is true or not, but, you know, he was so attached to his BlackBerry that they had to make a special BlackBerry just for him. So I don't know if that's true or not, but I heard that when he was running for office so that people would be able to tap
in.
So that was exciting. He's the first president to suggest, and I know Jerry is going to have a show about this later on in the future, the first American president to suggest that the borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on what things were like back in 1967. And these comments are actually in alignment with President George W. Bush, who suggested a two-state plan based on pre-1967 borders. I thought that was interesting. President Obama was the first to have his citizenship questioned. Remember that.
Wow.
You're right.
Come on.
The first and only. So that was interesting. Now, I want to kind of jump into some things that we know that he is working on. And this was pulled, this was from, when was this? I want to say September. So some things that he's working on, and one was, and some things that he ordered. The first, ordered all federal agencies to undertake a study and make recommendations for ways to cut spending. Two, ordered a review for all federal operations to identify and cut wasteful spending and practices. Three, instituted enforcement for equal pay for women. Four, beginning the withdrawal of U.S. Now, I don't know if this is, this might not be the first, but these are just a lot of some things. Remember I said this, it kind of got convoluted in my research.
But he did
institute enforcement for equal pay for women. Four, beginning the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. Five, families of falling soldiers have expenses covered to be on hand when the body arrives at Dover Air Force Base. Oh, that was pretty interesting. The reason why I thought number five was interesting was because I can only imagine, especially as being a social worker, the red tape that that was probably involved as far as coordinating that for the families. And just to have it right there on hand and go from there. Let's see, indebted media blackout on war casualties reporting full information. Seven, indebted media blackout on covering the return of falling soldiers to Dover Air Force Base. The media is now permitted to do so pending adherence to respectful rules and approval of falling soldiers' families. Eight, the White House and federal government are respecting the Freedom of Information Act. Nine, instructed all federal agencies to promote openness and transparency as much as possible. 10, limits on lobbyist access to the White House. And I didn't really know that. Has anyone, does anyone have any comment or anything about that piece?
About that again?
Limits on lobbyist access to the White House.
Well, that makes sense.
That makes sense. Thing got me in control, brother. That thing going on for years. That's why if you think about the gun laws and stuff like that, you find a lot of lobbyists, be talking to Congress and stuff, and they're very influential, be trying, you know, not regulate the law. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And then listen, number 11, he limits on White House aid working for lobbyists after their tenure in the administration. Oh, that was interesting.
They've got access to all that information. So they've had all that information,
right.
So now they can feed the lobbyists, you know, what was going on and how this person felt about that and who was the opposition. That's key information. That's like having, you know, your inside support staff going to the other side. I mean, that's,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. Yeah, that's critical.
That was pretty good. Right. Let's see. The next one is ended the previous stop loss policy that kept soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan longer than their enlistment date. That was interesting. 13, phasing out the expensive F-22 warplane and other outdated weapon systems which weren't even used or needed in Iraq and Afghanistan. I thought that was pretty good because sometimes you hear about old equipment being used in the war. So that was cool. Let's see, removed restrictions on embryonic stem cell research. I know there's a lot of controversy about that.
Mm-hmm.
15, federal support for stem cell and new biomedical research. 16, new federal funding for science and research labs, which I thought was interesting because in the educational system, that's where we're really falling behind, math and science.
Mm-hmm.
So for new federal funding for science and research labs, we got to step it up as a nation in that area.
Yes.
In regards to our children.
Let me cut you for a second, Jill.
Yeah.
Do a station break here. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We're coming to you live every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our call-in number is 646-716-9827. We've gotten some great conversation. Jill I'm just amazed at all of these new things that I didn't even know about that Jill is bringing to our attention around the presidency. We've got our website that you want to check out. www.blacksummit.org. We have information on summit shares, prerequisites that are happening around the country and actually around the world. And we also have information on the annual event. And we've got an upcoming meeting in Chicago in October where we're going to plan out where the annual event for 2012 is going to be. So that information, again, is available at www.blacksummit.org, and we welcome you to visit the website to register. The website is a social networking. It's an opportunity if you've got business or interest you can share with us. And we've got a couple of folks in the chat room. And Planky, and there's one other person. If you'd like to join in the conversation, please do. The number to call is 646-716-9827. And if you're already in the space and you'd like to get on the air, press 1, and we'll bring you to the switchboard. Back to you, Jill.
Thank you so much. And again, I just want to remind everyone that the International Black Summit does not endorse any political party. We are just sharing information, and so we welcome all views, no matter what political party you follow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. 17, states are permitted to enact federal few standards above federal standards. 18, he increased infrastructure spending for the roads, bridges, power plants after years of neglect. I know that's come up again. I don't know where we are as a nation with that, but I do know that in some states that has occurred. Do anyone have any comments?
Can I say something, Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
That is a good point, Joe, because that's supposed to be part of the job bill. And that's what
right.
Fuckers is really trying to stop. So that's part of the bill that Obama's trying to push. But the Republicans and the blue dog Democrats is really trying to stop. I just want to throw that in there. So.
Well,
right, and
want to jump in there because one of the things that has been present, and you know, of course, some of you may know, some of you don't know. I'm a History Channel buff, so I love watching the History Channel. And when they talk about some of the bridges and the roadways, and the other thing is dams that they haven't even included in the infrastructure conversation. There are a lot of dams that have been abandoned, and the state is now responsible for them. And, for example, they have states out there that have, over 900 dams, and they have like two inspectors in that whole state.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an area where we could have a whole lot of problems, dams, bridges, and roads. And when you think about it, that's an area that we could actually put people back to work right away. And that's the thing that the Tea Party has really put a stop to spending any money on infrastructure, because there could be a lot of work. And let's face it, that's how Roosevelt brought the economy back from the Depression, being able to construct the roads and the infrastructure, build the infrastructure that we have today. So just wanted to point that in, and I know Jerry's going to be talking about that on the jobs the third Sunday. We're going to be talking about jobs. Back to you, Jill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Jill, I'm sorry, Georgia. And one thing that Obama has passed that very historically, the gays and the lesbians who was in the service, they were being discriminated for a long time. And Obama had passed this bill about like 2 weeks ago, so no longer that the federal government had discriminated. And I think, I feel that is very, very big.
That's right. That was actually number 20 on this list.
Oh, okay.
So that was perfect. And then as far as the spending, the infrastructure piece, is that part of the American Jobs Act? Does anyone know? Okay, because I know for those people, the American Jobs Act of 2011 is supposed to help out-of-work Americans by extending unemployment benefits to help them support their families while looking for work and by reforming the system with training programs that build real skills connected to real jobs and help the long-term unemployed. It bans employees from discrimination against the unemployed when hiring, because there was a lot of talk about a lot of companies were not hiring people who have been out of work, which didn't make sense. So people that are faced with an employer who is not hiring them because they have a gap in their resume, they're, from what I understand, they can sue. So let's see. And it provides a new tax credit to employers hiring workers who have been out of a job for over 6 months. So that's a big piece, the American Job Act of 2011. Mm. Also, we find number 19, he provided funds for high-speed broadband internet across to K through 12 schools. 20, Jerry just mentioned in regards to the uplifting of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. 21, the prison at Guantanamo Bay is being phased out. 22, U.S. auto industry received a rescue plan. 23, there was a housing rescue plan. And, the list goes on. There are some things that I want to talk about. I know we're going to have a show about the growing list of Barack Obama's accomplishments. And some of this is the first and some is not, but I just wanted to make this comment that There are plenty of unsupported reactions after Barack Obama has been awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his contributions into peacemaking. Many still find it difficult to realize what has Obama really done so far. So here are a few items that were listed in regards to Obama's achievements since he entered the White House. And the first one was the global financial crisis. On February of 17, 2009, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at its lowest. Beginning at the end for global financial crisis, it was the beginning of the end for the global financial crisis. On October 14, 2009, Dow Jones topped at 10,000 for the first time in a year, but the U.S. stock market appears to have weathered the crisis. The most important factor in boosting the recovery over the last year has been a combination of the Federal Reserve and the federal government's desire to put a lot of stimulus into the economy. Number two, human rights. On Obama, he signed his first bill into law approving equal pay legislation. Willie Ledbetter Fair Pay Act expands workers' rights to sue in cases of pay discrimination. So I thought that was, I didn't know about that. Did anyone hear about that, the human rights piece? The Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act? I didn't know that he signed that.
I didn't know.
The list goes on in regards to from global warming to science to war on terrorism. So this was big. I'm going to see if there's anyone out there that would like to make a comment. Please press 1.
We have in the chat room, Jill, if I'm getting the name wrong, I apologize, it's Bianchi, P-I-A-N-K-I, is listening on the show and says that President Obama needs to raise the federal goals from 14.7%. In all black communities where the stimulus money is being used for construction projects, the white contractors are not hiring qualified African Americans. One case is in the Mississippi River Bridge in St. Louis, Missouri, and in East St. Louis, Illinois. Workers, The first comment was that they need to do that, and you're right, with the stimulus, get more black contractors involved because they're not giving the work away. And there's another comment that Yankee said, announces changes to Guantanamo detention policy. So this new policy has been viewed by many media outlets as an acknowledgement of the administration that it could not keep Obama's campaign promise to close Guantanamo facility. So that was a comment from the chat room. Back to you, Jill.
All right. Thank you so much. We have, I believe, Shakesha, 310-346. You're live on the air. 310-346. You're live.
Yes. Hailing here from Memphis, Tennessee. Just getting back in from Arizona.
Hello, how are you?
Okay. Wow, I'm just out of breath at listening to all of Obama's accomplishments. And like you said, you've just hit the tip of the iceberg. I was doing a little research, and the information I was running into was the fact of what he accomplished in his first 2 years. The percentage rate was like 86% of what he said he would deliver on that he had delivered on. And I thought that was extraordinary. I too found the same things that you mentioned about the military, about the environmental issues. And, you know, and just as the president's been very busy and not taking time to take bows, but just moving forward to get things done. So I'm really happy that you guys are, you know, giving people facts, and, you know, we can see what's happening here. That was my comment.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Acacia. I appreciate that. Again, if you'd like to make a comment, please press 1, and we will get you live on the air. Next, I did pull up some information in regards to things that it's called the Obama meter, and it's a scorecard. And there are some things that are promises that he has kept, promises that have been broken, and things that are in the works, along with things that have not been brought to the table yet. So these are the all of these are promises that he's made in the beginning, and then we can kind of take a look to see where they are now. And the first promise, require employees to provide 7 paid sick days per year. And this is actually, they say, a promise broken. They said that the promise required that employees provide 7 paid sick days per year, which may be taken on an hourly basis, so that Americans with disabilities can take the time off they need without fearing of losing their jobs for a paycheck. And that was an update from September 30th to 2011. And there was no indication that Congress will pass the Healthy Families Act. Now, I do know that there is the, what is that when you want to take leave for a long period of time because of a family member? I cannot remember.
Like
I cannot recall.
Like a sabbatical
yeah.
kind of thing or something like that?
Yeah, so I know that's still in effect. So, but I'm not sure if that's tied in to this. So I'll have to do some more research on that.
I know that that it does become an issue, but sometimes you will lose your job. So it's the ability to take a leave of absence. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's not given, especially if you've mm-hmm. got an extended period of time. So mm-hmm. normally what an employer would say is, well, you can take your time off, but I won't promise to have your job available when you're ready to come back. And, mm-hmm. Of course, that has you not take your time off to take care of your family or to do whatever it is that you need to do for yourself. So, mm-hmm. you know, those are the kind of things that will come up. So mm-hmm. that may be addressing what you're pointing to.
Okay. Well, this was a promise that he did keep, and it's create a best practice list for private businesses in accommodating workers with disability. And as President Barack Obama, he directed the Secretary of Labor, the Labor Department Office of Disability Employment Policy, and its Job Accommodation Network to bring together employers, employer associations, human resource professionals, disability advocates, service providers, and the labor movement to identify, promote, and disseminate best practices in accommodating workers with disabilities. So that kind of piggybacks, you know, maybe it was not, they say it was a promise broken in regards to getting the 7 days off, but this passed as far as creating best practices for workers with disabilities in the workplace, in the private business sector. Another promise that he stated and he kept, and it did go through, was launch educational initiatives for employers on tax benefits of hiring employees with disabilities. And another promise that was kept, the reproductive health care will be, quote unquote, at the heart of the health care reform. And I know that's the health care piece is huge, but there are, does anyone know as far as the health care reform, where we're standing right now? Because this shows as a promise kept that he, you know, is working through it, but I know there's still a lot in question.
Well, what happened was you find a lot of Republicans. I'm not talking about when I know all the past time I watch TV. It is going through, but most of that bill is going to really be, you're really going to see the change in 2013. But there are Republicans and there are some lobbyists is trying to repeal the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so far we have it, and we are seeing the changes that people actually know about it. But the bill really going to be kicking really 2013. That's why it's very that's why like some people definitely want to know more about it. Just keep on listening out for, because that, you know, the topic that is still hot right now.
One thing I can say about New York State, because I have a friend of mine who actually works in the insurance, she's an insurance regulator, and one of the big confusions, of course, as Jerry said, it's staged in. So it's at this point, this kicks in. At that point, that kicks in. So it's staged in over a period of time. And one of the things, one of the first deadlines that they had was January of this year, 2011. And what happened was that at that point in time, they had to freeze their rates. So what a lot of the healthcare providers did was they increased their rates. So September, October, and November, and even December of last year, because they knew that they couldn't raise their rates, the cutoff point was January, so they started raising their rates prior to it. And actually, I think it was actually further out, because they had to do it by 60 to 90 days prior to the freeze. So there was a lot of miscommunication to the point where people were getting information in the mail saying that their insurance was going up. But the insurance companies themselves, because they had sent out so many things so quickly, couldn't even tell you what their rate was going up, like how much was it going up. So individuals were calling the state to find out what was going on with their insurance, because these insurance companies were just, you know, I'll use the word gouging, but what they were doing is they were actually within their rights to raise the rates prior to the 90 days for the January cutoff, and so that's what they did. But of course, they couldn't keep track and didn't know to tell their policy owners what was taking place. So that was part of it. The other part of the conversation, which was stated in Obama's package, was that initially things would go up. However, the rates that we have been receiving in increases were in the neighborhood of about 20% per year. So initially, yes, it would go up. It wouldn't have been the 20% per year that we normally have been seeing, but after the second and third year kicked in and we had more people in the pool, then those costs would actually begin to go down. And that was part of the misinformation that was taking place around, yes, the benefits will go up under this health plan, but eventually they would come down because there are more people in the pool. So that was the piece of the conversation that wasn't necessarily being included. So, again, you know, it's an ongoing thing, and as Jerry said, some of the specifically Republican Party have been looking to repeal that law and eradicate it and take it back off the books, which, when Greenwich speaking, would be a shame. And again, we're speaking our views and not expressing the views of the International Black Summit here tonight. We're looking to present the facts of what is happening and what is not necessarily being portrayed by the normal media in terms of some of our research. Back to you, Jill.
Thank you so much. And just a reminder to our listeners, you're listening to the International Black Summit Network radio show. You can find out more information about us at www.blacksummit.org. And just to let you know, the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. And just, we do have a caller that has their hand raised. I just want to make mention in regards to the reproductive healthcare reform piece that I was discussing, an update, September 1st, 2011, insurance companies are required to cover preventive care. And there's more information about that if you go to www.polyfact.com. Now we have a caller, 314-381. You're live on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I was listening to your comments, and I'm a critic of President Obama's office, and sometimes some of the things that comes out of that office is well worth. You know, he did make way for, but they haven't got paid yet, the Black Farmers lawsuit that they had.
Mm-hmm.
He increased that substantially. He added 2.1 billion to that, which raised it to 2.25. But as I said before, they haven't got paid yet, and we watching to see what happened there. The health care bill is a good idea, but it's going to raise rates, and you know, there's people, including myself, who's against the government telling citizens, you know, that they have to get involved in something that they don't want to. People say, well, they do it on car insurance. Well, that's car insurance and what's going on here is two different things. People don't have to drive cars, so they don't have to have car insurance, but they're demanding that people, you know, participate in this plan. And, you know, the things that Obama is putting forth, but Congress is under mandate that in order for him to put these things forth, that he's going to have to cut money that's being spent elsewhere. Like this jobs bill is $447 billion. And for that to go through, they want to see $447 billion cut out someplace else. This country, as far as debt is concerned, is in very, very dry straits. And I don't think that most people realize, you know, how bad it is. $16 trillion. The country only, IRS only takes in through September the 30th of this month, is the ending, last month was the ending fiscal year for the federal government. I think they collected about $2.3 trillion, and they scheduled to spend over $4 trillion. And, you know, that's been going on and on and on to a point now where it's over 16-some-odd trillion dollars. Now, the 1st of October, they start off a new year. And I don't know what the budget for this year is, but, you know, I think it's like 3.5. But, you know, they don't take in that much money. And that's something that people don't consider. $115 trillion in unfunded liabilities. And then you look at the debt that American citizens are in, which is like $57 trillion. And, you know, that's a lot of money. When you're talking about when a child is born into this country on, you know, maybe on like $100,000 or more, $116,000 on some of those debts. And, I'm interested in listening to what do you think about that?
Well, the first question that in response to you, I would say that this is not a Obama strictly conversation. This is not the first administration that has run over the debt. Second of all, if you look at the debt situation that we're discussing now, Obama inherited a lot of that from Bush. Bush actually inherited a balanced budget and drove up the deficit. Now, Bush is not the only one to contribute to our debt. I mean, we've been in this debt conversation probably before Reagan. So this is a trend that's been occurring over lots of years. Now, we hit a bubble, and it burst, and we've got to change something. And I understand, you know, I certainly agree with you that we have to do something different. But one of the things that we're looking to create happening in this conversation is that we also have an economy. We have a job situation where we've been sending jobs overseas for 30-some-odd years as well. And so now we've gotten to the point where we don't have jobs to provide for people. We haven't managed our debt, and we haven't managed our infrastructure. And so there's some things that are, you know, so it's not just an isolated viewpoint.
Well, can I make a comment on one statement you made, please?
Sure.
When Clinton left office, the deficit was $5.7 trillion. Yes, Clinton did not spend all the money that they allocated for that particular year. He spent everything except $180 billion. But that was between October the 1st and September the 30th. That $180 billion would have went toward bringing down the $5.7 trillion. But he did have, there was a deficit, which is every year when you go over the budget, that amount that goes over is added toward a running deficit. And
okay.
Now it's $16-some-odd trillion. And that is a serious problem. You know, U.S. is borrowing money where other countries like China has cash to spend. Another thing, the U.S. corporations went overseas to take advantage of the cheaper labor. But the difference between you know, countries in where these corporations are going to, like your China's, your Indonesia, and so forth, their cost of living is nowhere near as high as what it is here in the U.S. You look at the difference between the CEO pay for a U.S. CEO compared to that of a Japanese, especially a Chinese. So the cost of living is just not what we see here in the United States. You know, what it costs to buy a meal a day compared to $4 or $6 in China. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So what would you propose as a solution? Because I agree with what your points are. I agree with the fact that that we're in trouble. And so what I would ask is how do you see us getting out of trouble?
Well, it's going to have to be a very huge austerity measure that's going to have to go on in this country. I mean, defense is going to have to be cut by 2/3. Right now, defense is over $701 billion. Medicare is $821 billion, and Social Security is $715 billion. But see, Social Security, you know, Congress borrowed $2.3 trillion from the Social Security Trust Fund.
Security budget, yes, yes.
And now they're talking about taxpayers paying that $2.3 trillion back by raising taxes. But guess what? You already paid for it the first time.
But exactly. No, I'm with you. I'm with you at that. So, I mean, you know, so one of the things that you bring up, and I love the statistical information that you bring to the table, because you've got a wealth of knowledge around that. And I think one of the things the International Black Summit looks at is what is the difference that we can make as an individual. And so one of the things you know, I understand that President Obama is the head of state, but I also understand that he can't solve all the problems by himself. He's got to work within the construct of Congress and the Senate. And if the Congress and the Senate are not stepping up and doing what they need to do, then what can you or I as an individual do? And so certainly one of the things that comes to mind is that I manage and reduce the debt in my family, in my structure, in the monies that I'm managing for my household and for my business. But those
you're
are the
a
things
smart
that
man.
That I can do.
Yeah, you're a smart man. If we well, I can say this. This is what I think, and I usually this is what I think that blacks and African Americans should do.
Okay.
Is one of the things that you said you should reduce yourself as much debt as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing that black Americans need to do, black Americans need to control the economy in these large urban areas where they reside.
Absolutely.
Need to control the major consumptive items that they are spending money on, because that money is going elsewhere. When you leave out of wherever you are and you put gas in your tank, that's not somebody from your community that's running that station.
I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah. And the same thing
with
food.
The Jewish community, a dollar earned circulates 11 times before it leaves the community.
18 times.
I live in New York City in Jamaica, Queens, and when I go to the where I buy my food, my groceries, is not black owned. As you said, gas stations in my community are not black owned.
Who controls
cleaners,
your produce?
The cleaners,
who controls the produce in your community?
Who controls the produce are the Koreans.
There you go. They control 90% of the retail and 40% of the production of produce in the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut.
Absolutely. No, I'm completely with you. And so I think that the conversation that we as people of black African descent need to be having is how do we, as you said, gain back control of that? How do we now support our black businesses within our community? Because there are some in there that are not necessarily getting the support, and they need to be also providing the kind of service that would have them expand rather than contract. Because I don't want to just give my money to a black business and get inferior quality. So,
well,
you know,
here's the point, too.
That's a conversation that people have as well.
Here's a point, too. Supporting black businesses isn't really by going in there buying what it is that they're selling. Supporting black businesses is when you produce and manufacture, transport, warehouse, and process the things that you're selling. That's supporting black businesses. Black businesses, you know, 87% of the businesses in America, black businesses in America, 87% gross less than $50,000 a year. That's deplorable. And a black business will never be able to compete with Asians trying to sell the same things that Asians are selling by going to Asian manufacturers thinking that they're going to get family prices from it. That's not going to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I hate to cut you, but we're getting ready to wrap up the show. We've got about 6 minutes left.
Okay.
We're going to be having this conversation for the rest of the month, so I want to invite you back, because I love your commentary. I think that you've got some great information to share.
Well, I tell you what, I'll come back if you have more young people listening to the conversation, because you and I know this. We need to have more young people listening to these conversations, because this is beyond the 2-minute warning.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And what's your name?
My name is Pianki. I made those comments in the chat.
Oh, in the chat room. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
My birth name was Pianki.
Okay. Okay. Well,
yeah.
Thank you.
And what's your name, sir? You say you're in Jamaica, Queens?
Yeah, I live in Jamaica, Queens. My name is Glenn Greenwich, and the other host, Jerry Thomas, is in Brooklyn. He's in East New York, Brooklyn. And then Jill is in Atlanta, Georgia.
I got a friend of mine live there, J2 Wayusi. If you remember, you know Reverend Darch of the House of the Lord Church. They members of the National Black United Front.
House of the Lord, I remember the name of that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. We started in the old armory back in the 1980s. That's still there, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
in St. Louis right now. I'm in St. Louis. I'm going to try to come in. What days are you on?
We're on Sunday night from 8 to 9 p.m. every Sunday. And every Sunday this month, we're going to be talking about different aspects of the presidency.
Okay.
So we were talking about what Obama is doing. Next week, we're actually going to be talking about some of the aspects of family. Tonight's show was on some of the first things that he's done as a president. We're going to talk about the jobs and employment on the third Sunday, and so forth. Did you see us on Facebook, or you just happen to be in Blog Talk Radio?
Well, I hang around in Blog Talk Radio looking for political topics to talk on.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Okay. I'll try to catch you next Sunday.
Very good.
Would you mind if we take your number so we can, because we send out text messages about the shows as well.
Yeah. Who are you, the International Black Summit?
Jill.
Yeah.
Right, Jill. I'll private you my cell number, okay?
Okay. Yeah. You can do it in the chat room if you'd like,
okay.
or you can send it to the show. Very good.
Okay, I will. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Jill, why don't you take us home?
That was great. Okay, we are going to be in the chat room. First, I want to just thank everyone. I thought it was a great, great show. As you see, there's so much more that I had, and I know the team members of the show, they're going to have even more information in regards to this presidency for the month of October. Jerry, are you out there to give the oxygen room information? We have 2 minutes and 17 seconds. Jerry? Okay. I'm going to give you all the number to the oxygen room. And what we do in the oxygen room is we are on from 9 to 9:30. And that number is 218-862-6420, and you can go to, is it 797-4834-pound. Again, the number is 218-862-6420, and the PIN is 797-4834-pound. This concludes our show. Glenn, do you have any closing comments?
Yeah, I just want to let everyone know out there that again, this is not necessarily the views of the International Black Summit. We are looking to generate a conversation and to present some information, some factual information around what's occurring and the presidency. And we love to engage and have these kind of conversations where we can share information. It was great to have brother come on the show and share his views. And clearly he's not a supporter of Obama, and that's fine. And it's actually perfect. So we're here every Sunday night from 8 to 9 p.m., and we invite you to come back. Our number is 646-716-9827, and our website is www.blacksummit.org. Back to you, Jill. We've got about 20 seconds.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Glenn, Jerry. I know Henrietta's out there and Shakesha. And We will hear you all on the radio. Look forward to hearing you in the oxygen room. Have a wonderful week, and God bless. Bye.
Peace and love. Good night.